This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. Amen. Thankful for what I feel in this place. Thankful for everything that God is doing right now. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 13. Genesis 6 and 13 says this, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it, and the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make of the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." Chapter 7, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation." Today I want to preach on this subject, build the boat. Build the boat. The boat. One more time, let's pray. Father, we love you, and I'm so thankful, Lord God, for what I feel in this place. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay, Lord. I pray that, Lord Jesus, we'd have ears to hear, hearts to receive, and minds to understand what thus saith the Lord today. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. This is probably one of the first Sunday school lessons that comes to mind when we think about Sunday school is Noah's Ark. We think about all of the animals getting on the ark, and we have the little bubble animals in our mind, how that our Sunday school teachers would put them up there. And they, for me, it was little Velcro patches, and they would show them marching on to the boat. But there was a time before that that gets overlooked. We read in chapter 6 about how the Lord had seen everything that was happening in the earth. He said that the earth was filled with violence and that he was done with it. Can I tell you, our earth is filled with violence. And what the Lord has called us to do is to build an ark of safety. And that's the church house. Can I tell you, this is the place where you can come and find rest. This is the place you can come and find safety in the midst of an untoward generation. Amen. And so the Lord begins to speak to Noah. Can I tell you, it's hard to hear the voice of God when you've got other voices in your ear. And the Lord began to deal with them. I thank God that Noah had an ear to hear. I thank God that he listened to the Lord. And the Lord said, "You're going to build a boat." Well, why am I building a boat? They hadn't seen rain like this ever on the face of the earth. They had never seen what was coming like this on the face of the earth. And so what Noah was tasked to do seemed ridiculous. Can I tell you, sometimes the church seems ridiculous to the regular world until they realize the power that's kept up in the little old church. So people don't understand what they can be saved from within the ark of safety. Can I tell you, I've been saved from some things. I've been saved from addiction. I've been saved from a sin-sick life. I've been saved from a lot of things. I've seen a lot of miracles in my life. And it was found in the ark of safety, and that is the church. He went on to tell Noah, he said, "Look, things are rough out there, but you're different. You are different." Can I tell you, you're going to be labeled as different. Some of us to greater degrees than others. But you are going to be labeled as different when you live for God. When you decide that I'm separating myself because I see an oncoming destruction, you're going to be labeled as different because you see things the way God would have to see, have you see them. You start to see things through God's eyes. And he says, here's what we're going to do, Noah. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make an ark. Okay, Lord, how am I going to do this? And he starts giving him precise instructions. Can I tell you, it's up to us if we obey what God tells us to do. The problem with us is we like shortcuts. We like to cut corners because we want to get there faster. It wasn't to be faster. It needed to be endurable. It needed to endure the storm. Can I tell you, in order to endure the storm, it's going to take some time. God's got to build on you, and you have to listen to the instruction that he gives you. Now, how many of us know that it's important to read our Bibles? How many of us know that it's important to really go in deep in your Bible study? You know, I had believed something for a very long time that I found out wasn't exactly true according to several commentaries that I read up on. I had always heard that the gopher wood was not indigenous to Noah's area. Turned out to be false. Turned out to be false according to Moffat's translation and a few other commentaries that I read, because I decided to go a little deeper. And it was indigenous to there. However, the Ark, how many of us have been to the Ark encounter? Amen. When you understand what it had to take to build a boat like that, you understand it took time. As a matter of fact, they estimated it took between 100 and 120 years to build that boat. See, the thing about it is, we want to build a church in a day. We want to build a congregation in a day. But can I tell you, when we do it God's way, sometimes it takes a little time. Sometimes it takes what God needs to happen in that church to make it to where it can endure the storm. So what we need to do as the members who have been tasked is to understand that we just got to build it the way he said to build it. And we cannot get overwhelmed by those that don't join us. I wonder what it felt like every day to go work on that boat, watching everybody else around him partying, marrying, giving marriage. That's what it said. That's what your Bible says. They were all having the time of their lives. Meanwhile, Noah and his three boys are working on the ark every day, day after day, working on the ark. Can I tell you, it probably got a little monotonous. It probably got a little hard. Can I tell you, nobody said the kingdom was going to be easy. Nobody said that church work and doing the will of God was going to be easy. Quite honestly, if you read everyone's account, it's the exact opposite. However, in the midst of that, there was a few things I took away. One, he had a precise plan. Listen to the plan of God in your life. Don't get weary in well-doing. I also come to find out that the gopher wood, not the wood I told you on Wednesday night, because that is the wood of the ark. The Shittim wood was the wood of the ark. It was the Ark of the Covenant. But the gopher wood was actually, when you look at the translation, it was cypress. And it did not make sense to make the ark out of cypress wood. Well, why would you say that, Brother Lawson? Well, I got into it, right? And what you have to understand is that the cypress wood gets more dense the wetter it becomes. However, the more dense it becomes, the more it can withstand in a storm. It was a heavy wood, but it could withstand the storm. And there was some pitch, some slime that was on the inside to keep the water out. It was on the outside and it was on the inside. Can I tell you, you've got to have the Holy Ghost on the outside and you've got to have the Holy Ghost on the inside if you're going to endure the storms of this life. You've got to have the Holy Ghost all over you if you're going to make it, and you're going to make it through this life. It's not always going to be easy. It wasn't easy with Noah. Nothing came easy. He had to cut down groves of trees to build this ark. It was 3 stories tall. I believe the measurements I read was 450 feet long. 3 stories high. 75 feet wide. And all that height. There was one window placed at the top of the boat. One window. And there was only one door. Let me remind us, there's only one way to heaven. Not all roads lead to heaven. I can tell you, I had to find this out for myself. There was a time that I did not really completely understand what it took to get to heaven, but a pastor sat down with me and showed me the exact plan of salvation. Can I tell you, if you can't find your plan of salvation in the Bible word for word, you need to re-examine it because it's important. Amen. If you want to find out how to get to heaven, find out what the people standing around the disciples did in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Because it said they were pricked in their heart and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What they were asking is, how do we get over this? How do we get to heaven? And that's when Peter stood up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you that Holy Ghost is meant for you, my friend? Because it goes on to say, and this gift is for you and your children and all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Because you know what that means? That means it's for me. It's for anybody listening to this podcast. God is for you. The Holy Ghost is for you. And it never stopped. Amen. 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 And if you can't find your salvation message, you better re-examine it. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, build the boat. And here's the exciting thing about building the boat. It was a family affair. When you look, Shem, Ham, and Japheth were right next to their dad building the boat. Can I tell you, there is power in building the boat with your children. There is power in working ministry with your children. There's power in letting them get involved and letting them know that they count in the kingdom. There's power in letting them know that what you do matters in the kingdom. I think we've become so disconnected that we got to be so professional that our kids can't be involved. Can I tell you? Kick that out, because our kids are important and they're never going to learn unless they get involved. Amen. Amen. I want to remind us that Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. I want to remind you, it was a little boy's lunch that fed 5,000. He showed up with what he had. Amen. Our children are a blessing to us, and we do them such a great disservice when we don't get them plugged in. Can I tell you, the world is fighting for their attention. It's fighting for their time. Look, it is our job to build the boat, and it's our job to get them involved, and it's our job to help them understand how important the boat is. Amen. And so, day after day after day, they're working on the boat. They're building the ark. They're following God's plan. And they're lifting the heavy wood. And they're putting it up there. And they're getting that slime all over them, the pitch. They're putting it all on the inside. You know it had to be sticky because it was waterproof. Can I tell you? It's not always going to be easy. There's going to be times. I would venture to say there were times that they were just exhausted. I know I've already said this once, but it does get exhausting. And it's okay to take a breather, but it's not okay to stop. Can you imagine if Noah would have just said, I ain't seen no rain, so I'm just going to stop. 100 years. We get mad if it don't happen in 100 days. 100 years, day after day. And I can hear him telling his boys, I know you don't understand right now, but men, it's going to rain. Boys, it's going to rain, and we just got to be ready. And their boys bought into it. And Noah begins to speak to him again, and he says, I want all manner of creature in the boat. I want all manner of creature in the boat. That means he wanted what was deemed unclean, and he wanted clean. Everything was welcome in the boat. Can I tell you, this church, everybody's welcome here. Going to be people that are going to come that aren't going to have it all together. Guess what? They're welcome in the boat. We need them in the boat. God's call. And look, here's the thing. Noah did not have to go herd one animal. He did not have to go out and fetch the animals. God brought every one of them to the ark. Can I tell you, God's already working on our behalf. I want somebody who's starting a church that's listening to this podcast, hear me today. God is sending your revival. You just got to have patience. You just got to believe for it and do what God told you to do. Even when it gets hard, even when you don't see where the next service is coming from, where you don't see where the finances are coming from, where you don't understand why that the church ain't full, keep building the boat. God is sending what you need. He is going to send exactly what you need when you need it. What would have happened if he would have sent the animals when he was still building the first deck? They would not have been ready, and it would have been overwhelmed, and it would have been chaos. But what about if he had the second deck built? It still would have been chaos. He had to wait until everything was ready to send what needed to be in the boat. We get so upset. Can I tell you, church? We're still building around here. We're still building around here. We're still on that first section right now. We're still building that first floor right now. We can't get upset that God ain't sent it when we're not ready to receive it. My. God knows exactly what we need. He knew exactly the material that Noah needed. He knew exactly how to pitch it. He knew exactly what size the rooms needed to be. He knew what went on what floor. And if Noah could trust God, so can we. And finally he said, it's time to get in the ark, Noah. Noah had built the rooms exactly how, like God told him to. He had pitched it within and without exactly like God told him to. I don't know what that was. What I can tell you is that when he followed the plan, God showed up exactly like he should have, like he promised he would. If we will just do our part and build the boat, God will do his part. God will show up. We get caught up in the stickiness of the pitch. We get caught up in the heaviness of the wood. We get caught up in it's got to be another floor. We get caught up in, why is the door got to be on the side and not at the top? We get caught up in, why is there only one window whenever God's already laid out a plan? Quit questioning the plan and do your part. Verse 22 of chapter 6 says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You see, when we can be trusted with those things, God can trust us with a revival. When we can be trusted to put in the things that need to be put in, then God can trust us with revival. When we don't get upset because things aren't going our way and we just trust God, God can then trust us with revival. When we do outreach and nobody comes and we're still meeting here every Sunday, worshiping God with our hands raised high, that's when God can trust us with revival. When we decide that we're going to trust him through it all, because it's not our hands. One man sows, another man waters. God gives the increase. We still believe that, right? We do our part, and then we worship until something happens. We do our part. We allow God to do his part, and we don't get upset in between. We don't need to question God. He knows exactly what he's doing. But chapter 7 lets us know that Lot took his family on the boat. You see, when you're building a boat and you're building it correctly and you're building it for the right reasons and you're following God, your family's going to get on the boat with you. They're going to get on the boat with you. When it's time, they're going to get on the boat with you. And God started sending the animals 2 by 2 for the unclean, 7 by 7 for the clean. Did anybody ever wonder why God did that? I know when I first came to God, and I always wondered why. At first, I thought it was only 2 at a time. I thought it, because that's what I'd been taught. It was all of them were 2 by 2, but that wasn't the case. See, the unclean beasts came in by sevens. Why would the Lord do that? One, and this made a lot of sense to me. It didn't make sense to me until I really, really studied it. What were they going to eat while they were on the boat? God had already planned for them because they can't eat unclean beasts. Furthermore, they were only 2 by 2, so if you ate one of them, they're not repopulating the earth. So he had seven of those beasts. But even further than that, God had already planned for them to worship. You see, you had the altar of sacrifice, right? And on the altar of sacrifice, you had to offer a clean beast. And so he already had it planned out. What Noah probably didn't understand at that point, but God already seen, is you're going to make it through this storm, and after this storm, you're going to worship me. Can I tell you, God's already making provision for you to worship after you come through this storm. After it's all said and done, he's already making provision so you can worship and you can put something on the altar. I want you to hear me today. The storm you're going through is not without provision. God has already set everything in place that you're going to need to worship in the after. Everything, look, I know life gets tough. I can't imagine being on that boat, those waves crashing, hearing those waves hit the side of the boat, knowing how big that boat is. And yet, God made enough provision and had enough foresight to know that, hey, you're going to make it through this and you're going to worship. You're going to come through this. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you're going to come through this. God has already made provision, and you don't even recognize it. And when it's time, you will see how God already planned your worship. He's already given you everything you need for your worship. On that day, I want to backtrack a little bit. On that day that he told Noah to get in the boat, and he started bringing the animals in, and he started putting them in each of their separate rooms, and he's doing all that, and then the door closed. Can I tell somebody today, there's going to be a time where the door closes and you're not able to get into the ark of safety anymore. There's coming a time, if it doesn't come with the Lord rapturing us out of here, there will be one time where you don't have a second chance and you go into eternity. Can I tell you, today's the day to get on the ark. Today's the day to get on the boat. Today's the day to get into the church. Today's the day to get the Holy Ghost. Today's the day to be baptized in his name and have all of your sins washed away. Today is a day you have to start building the boat today. But when that door closed, the raindrops started to fall. And the people who were outside partying, they began to notice it. And the rain fell, and the Bible says the wells of the deep were opened. And water started coming from everywhere. And it was cool at first, right? They were kicking around in the water and splashing. And everything was a good time until it got about waist deep. And they were like, this is not stopping. Can I tell you, that's the way sin is. It's fun for a season, but eventually it starts to overtake you. And if you don't have that boat built, you won't know where to go to safety. And I can only imagine what it must have sounded like on that ark with the door closed and the people that once surrounded Noah and his family asking questions were now beating on the side of the ark saying, Noah, let us in. We're drowning out here. Noah, get our babies. If you can't save me, get our babies. Noah, we're drowning out here. It's not safe out here anymore. You were right, Noah. God really did talk to you, Noah. Help us. I can't imagine what it must have been like to hear that, hear the screams of children. I can't imagine what it must have been like knowing that they had the opportunity to help Noah build the boat, and they chose not to. I can't imagine what it must have been like for Noah and his family to hear the screams. Can I tell you, in Shepherdsville today, their screams. They're wanting to get into a boat, but they don't know where to go. There's the cry of those who have lived the way the world told them to live, and now they want something safe. They want something, they want a place for their family to go. It starts by building the boat. It starts by setting our wants aside and realizing that God has a plan for us. We know that the world was flooded, and then it wiped out mankind with save the souls on that boat. And we know that Noah sent out birds. The first birds did not come back. But the second birds, the dove, brought back an olive branch, letting them know that the storm was almost over. They built the boat. The waters began to subside, and they landed on what we know as Mount Ararat in Turkey. For those that are interested in history and interested more specifically in biblical history, go look that up, because from a satellite view, you can see the shape of the ark. You can see where it come to rest. It's amazing to me, because as they began to disembark off that ark, that when they did, the first thing that Noah did was he worshiped. He built an altar. Can I ask this question? When was the last time that after the storm you just thanked God? When was the last time that after the storm that the devil sent that you thought was going to take you out, that you just worshiped God and said, you did it again, Lord. You saved me again. You made it all right again, Jesus. You came right through when I needed you. And the Bible said that he made the sacrifice, and that we were given the promise, the rainbow in the sky, that he would never again destroy the earth by water. And all these things happened because Noah listened to God and he decided to build the boat. His family was saved because Noah obeyed God and built the boat. He did everything according to what God had told him to. Can I ask a question today? How many times has God spoke to us and we cut corners? How many times have we poked holes in our own boat simply because we didn't want to do what God said? Because maybe it was inconvenient. Maybe we didn't understand. I'm going to tell you, the thing about the timber that God told him to use didn't make no sense to me, knowing that it gets heavier the more the water adds to it. But God had already figured that in. You know, sometimes God will do things when he's preparing us for the storm that don't make no sense. Sometimes he'll require some things of us that just don't make sense until you are on the other side. Can I tell you, what I would like to encourage you to do today is to build the boat and trust God. Build the boat and know that God is going to give you everything you need. I didn't see where Noah ran out of timber. I don't see where Noah ran out of pitch. I don't see where Noah was begging for help. All I see is an outcome that no one would have ever predicted. Because he listened to God. Would you listen to him? That's the question. Would you listen to him? Would you allow him to instruct you how to build your boat? You know, there's some things that God has done in my life that I did not understand. There's times where it seemed like he made things heavier than what they need to be, Brother Nelson. There's been times, other Brother Nelson, that I didn't understand why God required different things of me. But can I tell you, I understand now. Because he's getting ready to take me through some storms. And the things that I thought were over the top were exactly what I needed to help me through the storm. They were exactly what I needed. I just had to be willing to build the boat. Building the boat was not exempt of problems afterwards. As I begin to bring this in for a landing, I want to remind us that after they disembarked off that boat, after they worshiped and Noah made the great sacrifice, we find Noah drunken. This great man of God, this one that helped save the human race because he walked upright before God, fell. Can I tell you, nobody's exempt from failure. This great man of God, when I read that, I had to wrap my mind around it, that this one that was willing to follow God to the letter of the word on a boat that was of huge scale that nobody had ever seen before, and he followed it all the way down to the smallest detail, is now falling out by getting drunk. It's a reminder to us that nobody's exempt from failure. Everybody falls. There's only one who didn't, and his name was Jesus. If you find yourself trying to do something for God, and you found yourself in failure, just get back up. Because I want to let you know, Noah made it into the catalog of the faithful. He sure did. Noah made it. He had his failures, but he made it. You can make it too. There's nothing so big. There's no storm so big that you can't make it through. We got to watch, and this is the one thing I learned, is after the storm, how we celebrate. How we let our guard down. It's amazing to me that while we're going through it, we can be tough as nails. While we're going through the storm, we've got our guard up. We're ready for anything that comes. But that's not where the enemy knows to attack us. Where he attacks us is on the other side of our victory. Because we have a tendency to let down our guard when everything is all right, when everything is going smooth, when the storm is over, when we've worshiped, when we've seen God move. That's when we tend to let our guard down. And that's when the enemy will strike. And that's what happened with Noah. But Noah built the boat. Because of his faithfulness, God showed up once again. Even in this drunkenness, he became sober again. You know, I'm thankful for all the examples that we have. David, a man after God's own heart, yet failed. You know what brought him back into the goodness of God? It was a repentant heart. Created me a clean heart and a right spirit. David knew how to get a hold of God. That's why he was a man after God's own heart, because he knew how to get a hold of him. He knew how to get in the audience of God. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Peter denied Christ 3 times, just like Jesus said he would. But when he got it right, he preached the first message Pentecost. Peter built a boat. He did. He built a boat in his faithfulness. He stayed right with Jesus all the way up until then. Friends, we got to make sure we're building the boat. We got to build the boat with our family. Let me stop right here and say something. Your family is the most important ministry you'll ever have. Build the boat for your family. Make sure you're taking time with them. Make sure that you're investing in them. Make sure you're not investing in everybody else and leaving your own family undone. It starts at home. But then get them involved with it. Let them see let them see mom and dad building the boat for others. Let them see mom and dad building something for the kingdom. You will sow something in them that no man can take away. Look at your neighbor and tell them to build the boat. Build the boat. Amen. Would you stand with me today? I think about all the times that my kids would go on outreach with me. They would go on the Sunday school bus route with me. I was building a boat. There was times it got hard. We were building the boat. There was times they didn't understand because all the friends around them were doing other things. I was building a boat. Sister Lawson was building a boat. And I know after Noah got drunk, Shem, Ham, and Japheth came in, and Ham made a poor decision. He had seen the boat built and still made a bad decision. Can I tell you that that happens? But God has his hands on our children. Don't never count your children out, because we have this promise, and it's a promise I hold to every day. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Amen. I'm going to continue to build the boat. I'm going to build a boat here in Shepherdsville, and I pray that many come on. I'm trusting God for every provision. With every head bowed and every eye closed,